Inside on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska. It's realestateconcepts.net. And Iowa Computer Repair. You want your computer to work? That's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Let's do it, shall we? With us in studio is Ryan Osborne. Ryan is the president, executive director. He's the head cheese over at Junior Achievement here in the Des Moines Metro. And so we're going to be talking to Ryan exactly what in the heck is Junior Achievement. I remember Junior Achievement as people that made clothes hangers long, long time ago. Welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Well, Ryan, tell us a little bit. Okay, the history of Junior, it's a long-standing program. What is it like today, and who are you trying to reach, and how do you do that?
Well, you're exactly right. Junior Achievement has been around since 1919 nationally. Here in central Des Moines, or central Iowa, we've been around since 1955. But, you know, I'd say the mission today is very similar to what it was from day one, which is really trying to connect students and school to the business world, trying to connect them to the real world and kind of give them experiences and give them a little flavor about, you know, what they're going to really need to succeed once they graduate from school.
And everybody out there is talking about that. Every single business that we have here, the governor was just talking about it last week. We just had a news story about Future Ready Iowa, about how do you get individuals, students, young people engaged in the business community and in careers that are most desperately needed here in the Hawkeye State.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it because I've been, you know, my second year here, I've been really busy trying to get out and meet with those folks actually to let them know, hey, you know, this is the exact reason why Junior Achievement exists and why we've been around, you know, as long as we have. And so, you know, on the one hand, you know, I think we are probably relevant now more than ever to some extent. And I think some of those conversations around the community have made that so, you know, kind of risen the awareness. But so, you know, it's our job to get out and meet with people to tell them, hey, we can serve a need here. I mean, that's really what we're here for. We understand that the teachers and the schools don't necessarily have the time to cover some of those topics like business, like workforce readiness, like financial literacy. You know, when they got reading and math and all the other requirements to check the first. So that's really why we exist, to go in and help the schools get that done.
How do you get into the schools? How do you make those arrangements so that Junior Achievement is part of the educational process?
Well, you know, being around for a little while, we are fortunate. We've developed some long-standing relationships with the school districts. You know, in fact, we have seven superintendents on our board. And so that really helps us kind of get their buy-in, get their feedback, get their advice, guidance, et cetera. But, you know, this past year, we were actually in about 200 schools around central Iowa. Yep, we served just over 28,000 students. And that number's been going up and up, you know, a little bit each year. And, you know, we kind of reached the point where, to be honest, we're a little maxed out with our current operation. So now we're just trying to get the funding model and the volunteer model to kind of help us grow it to get out to more schools.
All right. When someone joins Junior Achievement, what can they expect? What do you do? And again, I'm not kidding. Back in the day, probably in 1955 or 19, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, I know in the Detroit area, Junior Achievement was best known for getting folks together to make coat hangers. They had businesses, and they would make they would say, okay, this is the business. We're going to make coat hangers, or we're going to make rulers, or we're going to make something, and then transfer that into some sales process so that they would get the idea. Is that still kind of going on, or how are you doing this?
Yeah, Michael, I mean, the program you're referring to, it's called the JA Company program. I actually had that program when I was in high school, too. Our group sold T-shirts.
There you go.
So the clothes hangers.
Much easier than clothes hangers.
But yeah, I mean, it's the program is still there where, you know, and that's a high school program. It's generally juniors and seniors do that program. But, you know, and they go through and they develop a product. They figure out how to market it. They choose the pricing. They test the market. They sell it. They, you know, et cetera. So that is one of our programs that we still run in the high schools. But, you know, we have programs that start all the way down in kindergarten now.
Really?
So in those early grades, you know, you're really teaching them about, you know, what is money, you know, and showing them literally a dollar bill, a penny, you know, reading them a story about saving in their piggy bank so they can get something nice, you know, for their brother or sister, whatever it may be. And then as you kind of progress into your, you know, your third, fourth, fifth grade, you know, we have units like there's one called JA My City. You teach them about how a city works. Well, the bank lends money to the corporations.
Really?
Corporations employ people. People who are employed pay taxes, and around you go, type of deal. And then that culminates really at that age with kind of, I'd say, our hallmark program nowadays is a fifth grade program. It's called JA BizTown. And that's where they come to our facility and they actually work in the town for the day. And so, you know, for that day, a kid could be the CEO of Meredith or the CFO of John Deere or a bank teller at Wells Fargo. And so before they come on site, they, you know,
have to research, I'm sure, the company.
Yeah, there's 12 hours of curriculum that they'll go through at the school, and then they'll come on to our facility for a full day simulation about what it's like to work in the town.
And then the CEO of John Deere sells the company, makes billions of dollars, and walks away, right?
That's they all take business loans at the beginning of the day.
They do.
Yeah, that's part of it. And then so the team goal for the organization is how do they generate enough revenue to be able to pay the business loan back by the end of the day? And then, you know, there's a bank there too. So they have to make sure they don't lend out too much, you know, so by the end of the day, they get that back plus some interest. So, you know, you are teaching them those skills about how, you know, a town runs and how a business works. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about the skills they're learning at that age. I mean, it's teamwork, adaptability, communication, you know, and then along the way, they, you know, they kind of grow awareness of, okay, I just got two paychecks. You know, I was told I was going to make my salary was going to be $10 per paycheck. But when they go take it to the bank, they don't get the full $10, right?
Right? They got
taxes, insurance, and all that stuff comes out. And so you know, for a lot of kids, it grows that awareness for them, and they can kind of say, well, all right, I might know what my mom or dad makes, but now I know they don't bring all that home, you know, and so they get a better understanding there and hopefully an appreciation, too, of how it all goes.
And financial literacy is one of those things that is so important. How do students get involved in this? Do they make application? Are their teachers say, hey, you want to do this? Or how does that go?
You know, it really starts with the teacher. Yeah. You know, so if a teacher is interested to run that in their class, you know, we always love to have that, you know. And so then it becomes our job to then go out and find a volunteer from the business community, typically, that would be willing to go out and teach that unit on personal finance, for example. And so, you know, because for us, the content is important and the knowledge. And but the junior achievement model since the very beginning is how do you get people from the real world to get in front of the students? So then the students can say, I want to be like him someday. Mm-hmm. I want to be like her someday. And I can, and they kind of hear how they got there, how they got in their job. And then along that way, they're teaching them about money and finance and, you know, growing their career awareness.
We should get Tyler, our producer, to do one of these things. He could go in there and tell them about the business of being a dance disc jockey out there. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, it's actually the jockey you mentioned. There's the DJ at our JA BizTown.
Yeah.
So a kid can apply to be the DJ for the day. And that's, as you can probably imagine, that's one of the most sought after,
I'm sure,
jobs for a fifth grader. That and then the mayor is the other,
really?
You know, most popular job. And the mayor and the district attorney at JA BizTown are elected positions.
Uh-huh.
So the students do elect them before they get there. And really, I mean, we turn the town over, you know, to those two kids, and they're in charge.
You know, that whole idea of democracy. I don't know. I would like to run for king sometime. You know, just be done with all this. Well, how about funding, Ryan? How is Junior Achievement? Ryan Osborne, ladies and gentlemen, is who we're talking with. How is Junior Achievement funded?
Yep. Well, Mike, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so all of our funding comes from donations. Well, I should say we do get a little bit of money from the schools or the parents of the kids that come to JA BizTown. So there is a small admission fee they pay. But, you know, for example, it costs us about $30 per student to run our programs. You know, if you come to the JA BizTown program, you know, some of the schools might pay a tenth of that. Or, you know, a sixth of that, probably at the very most, is what they're paying. And then the rest of it's all through sponsorships and donations. all of our classroom programs, though, are free to the schools. So when we go in and a volunteer from the business community comes in and we provide all the curriculum to the school, and that costs the school zero. So then what it becomes our job is to go out and fundraise for that through individuals who believe in the mission or through companies that want to support what we're doing as well.
And I suspect that you have companies out there that are regular sustaining members of your organization. Yes?
We do. We're very fortunate to have a lot of longstanding partners. You know, John Deere Financial is our biggest supporter from a company standpoint. But, you know, a lot of the Harmark names, your listeners recognize, you know, Meredith, Principal,
and it goes on and on.
Professional
I'm sure.
Solutions, yeah. On and on. Yeah, we have a lot of great corporate support.
Good. And part of your job, I'm sure, is to go see those corporations on a regular basis and assuage any concerns that they might have.
That's right. Yeah, we want to continually tell them thank you and remind them of the difference they're making and give them some of those student stories to share that impact.
Well, this certainly all does fall right into line with what we've been talking about for months now, is how do we get people into the pipeline, into the job pipeline. Ryan, thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Ryan Osborne, ladies and gentlemen, he is with Junior Achievement. We're going to have to duck aside. Why? Well, you got to check out what happened today on Wall Street. That report on the stocks is coming up next on the Business News Hour.